So, reading from Bhagavad Gita, text 24? 25. Okay, 25. Yes. Anubandhanam kshayam himsam anupeksya cha paurusham mohad arabhajyate karma yat tat tamasam uchyate Anubandham kshayam himsam Anubandham kshayam himsam Anupeksya cha paurusham Anupeksya cha paurusham Mohad arabhajyate karma Mohad arabhajyati karma Yathat tamasam uchyate Yathat tamasam uchyate So you chant also?
Yes.
Okay.
Anubandham kshayam himsam
Anapeksya cha paurusham
Mohat arabhyate karma
Yathat tamasam uchyate
Anubandham kshayam himsam
Anapeksya sa paurusham
Mohat arabhyat karma
Yattattam samuchyate
Anubandham kshayam himsam
Anapeksya sa paurusham
Mohat arabhyate karma
Yathat tamasam uchyate.
Ladies.
Anubandham kshayam himsam.
Anapeksya
cha paurusham.
Mohat arabhyate karma.
Yathat tamasam uchyate.
Anubandha, maybe the dog also wants to say it. Anubandham,
of future bondage.
Kshayam,
destruction.
Himsam,
and distress to others.
Anapeksya,
without considering the consequences.
Cha,
also.
Paurusham,
self-sanctioned.
Mohat,
by illusion.
Rajyate,
is begun.
Karma,
work.
Yat,
which.
Tat,
that.
Tamasam,
in the mood of ignorance.
Uchyate,
is said to be.
Translation.
The action performed in illusion, in discard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage, or for violence, or for distress caused to others, is said to be in the mood of ignorance.
purport by His Divine Grace, Prabhupada. One has to give account of one's actions to the state or to the agents of the Supreme Lord, called the Yamadutas. Irresponsible work is destructive because it destroys the regulative principles of scriptural injunction. It is often based on violence and it is distressing to other living entities. Such irresponsible work is carried out in the light of one's personal experience. This is called illusion. And all such illusory work is a product of the mood of ignorance. That action performed in illusion, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others, is said to be in the mood of ignorance. So, I will speak about the tour we had in 1976. I was together with another devotee called Initiator Prabhupada, called Varakesh Das. He's no longer present in his physical body, so I'm the only one left from us. Prabhupada wrote us a letter, actually, about... He says, people are suffering greatly presently due to having lost all proper vision. They are completely without knowledge as to what is real purpose of life. They have forgotten that what is the real purpose of life. So he said, so this is because of ignorance. So Prabhupada was very concerned that his devotees would go out and preach. And he was really very concerned about the area, this eastern part of Europe. That's in one of Harisori's books. Prabhupada says that when I hear reports from different parts of the world, I'm a hundred more times happy when I hear about results coming from like Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia and Eastern Europe. So this was very, Prabhupada was very concerned. And he, in this letter he writes at the end, he says, if you follow nicely our Krishna conscious program and preach to these unfortunate people, surely Krishna will recognize your very nice service. As he states in Bhagavad Gita, na chatasmad manushyasu kastin me priyakrita maha. Whoever preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita is considered to me to be most dear. So, this is the whole Krishna consciousness movement. Preaching, give to others. Before I joined, I read so many books. I read so many Bhagavad Gita translations, and maybe you heard of, I shouldn't mention all these people, but anyway, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, Transcendental Meditation, he wrote a commentary, but he just wrote the first six chapters. So maybe in the seventh, you know, Krishna speaks more personally, so maybe he couldn't touch it, you know, so he just... first six chapters. But I never could understand what Bhagavad Gita was about. And also there was a Swedish version of Bhagavad Gita around. You couldn't understand. You could, there were Juna said and Krishna said, and but you could, there was no action. There was, nothing happened. But when I read this Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, there was some practical engagement. You could do something, not just think about things and sit somewhere, you know, go somewhere alone. Like was very one so-called philosopher from India called Krishnamurti. I read a lot of his books also, and he said that you should not trust any authority, not even yourself. You know, you couldn't really figure out what he meant. He just was some kind of strange thinking. Don't trust anybody. Don't trust yourself. And we became a little confused by reading these books. So Prabhupada came, and that was very direct. This is what you have to do. So this is what made us, at that time, young devotees. We wanted to do something. We got Prabhupada kind of inspired us. Prabhupada said in that, I just want to fight. This is very nice. I just want to fight for Krishna. It's like Arjuna on the battlefield. I just want to fight for Krishna. So we felt also like we wanted to also fight for Krishna. So that's why we came here, to fight for Krishna in former Yugoslavia. I mean, other devotees went all over. So why we came here, that's explained by this friend of mine called Dwarakesh. He left his body in a car accident in 94. So, but he was a good friend, and he was from Hungary. He fled from Hungary with his mother during the communist time there. And so he knew communism, and he wanted to go and preach in some communist countries. So he couldn't go back to Hungary because they had fled from there. They were not allowed to go there. So he wanted to go, and he was thinking about former Yugoslavia. And of course also what he said, in the north of, you know that better than me, Subotica, I think it's called, they speak Hungarian, huh? Yeah. Yeah, so he was kind of a little nationalistic, maybe Hungarians are, I don't know, but he was. So he wanted to go there and meet Hungarian people and speak to them. You know, they spoke Hungarian anyway. But he wanted somebody to go with him. So he asked a few others, but this was a little dangerous, you know, to just go away in a communist country, and it's much nicer to live in a temple, warm, you know, cozy, warm shower, and you have prasadam and everything. So go away in a van, you know, live in a van, and you know, don't know what's going to happen to you. It's not attractive to so many devotees, maybe. But I was like an adventurous devotee, so when he asked me, there was no question of saying no. So I accepted immediately. So the story goes that before we were going to go to Yugoslavia, we heard that Prabhupada was coming to London. At that time when Prabhupada traveled, you never knew. There was always rumors. This is the oil every temple. Prabhupada is coming. Prabhupada is coming. Everywhere, you know. They were saying that. Where in New York, Prabhupada is coming this week. And in San Francisco, Prabhupada is coming. Sweden, Prabhupada is coming. Everywhere. Everybody thought Prabhupada was coming. So this was Prabhupada. He didn't tell in advance. So he came. Suddenly he had made plans to go to London. This was in 76 summer, July. So we were thinking, well, we want to go, we should go to Bhaktivedanta Manor and try to get Prabhupada's mercy and then go to Yugoslavia. So we went there and Prabhupada came. And at the same time, you all know of George Harrison. He's a very... He's not with us anymore either. But he was actually a devotee. Anyway, I don't know him that much, but I liked his music before, and I still like his music. He wrote a lot of, actually, my latest book, I wrote a book like a biography called Looking for My Life. Actually, I stole this from a George Harrison song. He sings, "Looking for my life, I was down on my knees, didn't know what to do, praying to Krishna." A very nice song. So I was thinking, this is, don't tell anybody. Stole it from his song. Anyway, so George Harrison was coming there. And at that time, George Harrison was kind of a god, you know. He said, Prabhupada said, he's a demigod who's going around. In England especially, you know, he was complete, devotees was, you know, so much appreciating him. So the story is that in Bhaktivedanta Manor, a lot of people, of course, a lot of devotees came from all over Europe when Prabhupada was coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor for a week or so. But the authorities there, because if George comes, you know, becomes completely confused, and, you know, every door is everywhere. And so they got in vans together and put all the devotees, we're going to go down to Harinam. They didn't tell anybody about George's coming. But me and Dwarkesh, we heard it at that time, Harikesh Swami, he was in charge. So we heard it from him. So we hid in a corner in a room, you know. So when everybody went down to Harna, we appeared. And then George appeared also. And he came up in a Porsche, you know, really nice. He liked cars. There were some devotees there. When they saw him, they paid dandavats to George Harrison, you know. And he was kind of wet, you know. So one devotee was lying in this mud, you know, paying obeisances to George Harrison like a stick. This is how they, you know, saw him. But anyway, George came. We had our time with George, Dwarkesh and I. I didn't speak to him. Dwarkesh was more like active, so he spoke a lot to George. I got water. George, can you get me a glass of water? George said. Yes, I ran for a glass of water. And I gave it to him, and then he said, "Shivishnu," and then he drank. Like we all did at that time. So he was nice. Prabhupada liked him very much. He went into Prabhupada's room, and he stayed for maybe an hour or two. We were listening outside, couldn't hear anything. But I heard that more or less Prabhupada was, you know, giving the sweets into George's mouth, you know, "Take this," you know. And George said, "This is beautiful, you know, Prasadam, beauty, so smells so nice." "Yes," Prabhupada said, "we eat like this every day." So anyway, that was very nice. So after we stayed there a few days, so we felt like we have gotten Prabhupada's mercy in one way. So we felt like this, now we can go to Yugoslavia. Actually, at that time also, I was allowed, many devotees, many Prabhupada disciples actually never met Prabhupada. Many, you know. And many never had any closer association. I know an American devotee in Sweden, he never met Prabhupada physically, you know. So anyway, when Prabhupada was in the manor, me and two other Swedish devotees called Begovan and Ajit, they started the movement in Sweden. We were allowed to give Prabhupada Charanamrita after whatever it was. So I don't remember if I had, I think I had a towel at that time. Water, you know, first Prabhupada Charanamrita, water, and then a towel. So I thought, think I have a towel. I have it. There's a picture of that anyway. So this is something you keep in your heart. So he felt very happy after, of course, we also met George Harrison, you know, our idol. Anyway, so then we went to, in our van, we got a van from Hare Krishna. He arranged a Mercedes van that we built inside the kitchen and some sleeping facilities and also for hiding books, you know. So, hid a lot of books and some vegetables and everything, and we just went down. So we came to, all this is actually more described in this book I wrote, The Spiritual Journey. I described the whole trip. But we came first to, the first place was Trieste, that's in Yugoslavia, Trieste? No, that's in Italy. Yeah, we passed through Trieste, and Pula is the first, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we came first to Pula. We didn't know what to do. And then we were thinking, Prabhupada in New York, what did he do? He just put out, little drug or something. He sat in this park in New York and started to chant, and people came. Actually, we did that in the beginning of the movement. I know one English devotee in Stockholm called Narendra. He used to go out, just sit in the center of Stockholm alone, you know, on a cushion, you know, Hare Krishna, for hours, you know. And people would come and look. I remember my wife now, before she joined, she saw him, she told me. And she was thinking, he must be crazy. There was Hare Krishna, alone, in just the biggest, you know, shopping center in Stockholm. Thousands of people passing by. We did like that. In New York also. Anyway, so we were thinking, we just sit down, we had a Indian rug or something, we put it on the ground, and we just started to chant. And immediately people come up, you know, and there was one boy we started to speak to. We chanted for maybe an hour or a half hour, and we spoke something and chanted again. So we got contact with one boy, tall boy. He invited us. They had a house at the coast there, kind of a place where a lot of young people stayed. They also had actually Indian instruments. They had sitar and, you know, and they played sitar. I have pictures in my book here. So anyway, we stayed there for some time. We preached to them. We sold them some Bhagavad Gitas. And actually heard later that this boy, when we came back from going around all Yugoslavia, this boy had gone to Italy to join the temple there. But now I don't know what happened to him. That was really nice for us to hear. Anyway, after that we went down the coast. Split, I think, was the next split. We said, there's the picture also. We sat in a square, started to chant, and hundreds of people around. They were starting to throw dinars, you know. Big pile in front of us. We chanted like anything, and the pile just grow, you know. But then suddenly some police appeared. And stopped the whole thing and took the money and drove us to the police station and questioned us in two separate rooms, you know. So we couldn't, you know, get some story together. So they questioned us, but not that heavy. And they didn't throw us out of the country. So let us go. So, but they followed us. We noticed there was a car when we drove from Split down the coast. There was a kind of bluish or whatever car. Same car, you know, for hours. We did this and that. They just go following us. But then we did some turns and this, so the car disappeared. So next stop, we came to Dubrovnik, yeah. Same thing, we sat in a square inside this old town, walls around, so many people, there are a lot of tourists also, chanted, and many people came back to our van. We this van we had with books, and they bought some books, and Dvarikeshi met some Hungarians, and he couldn't stop speaking to them, you know. He just spoke in, long into the night, you know. I was lying here listening to Hungarian, you know, couldn't sleep anything. Anyway, he was enthusiastic. One little funny thing is when, of course, everybody likes halwa, devotees. So we had a little thing going. We were going to figure out the best halwa ever, you know, the best halwa receipt, you know. So we, in this tour, we tried, instead of sugar, we took a little honey and cream instead of milk. We tried to make the best halwa. Sometimes it got too, if you put honey, cream, you know, together, it's so heavy you cannot eat it. So we made one of these heavy halwas we couldn't take. We took little, you know, it was too much. So we put it outside on some, you know, parking place we had. And there were some dogs there. So in the evening, in the morning we put it out, and the dog came, started to eat. Oh, I said, oh. Anyway, the dog is eating it. So then we went down, and we came back in the evening. The dog was lying there, you know. We thought it was dead. Everybody who has dogs knows that the dog can't stop eating, you know. If he has, no stop eating. So he took the whole thing, you know. And we think, wow, we killed the dog. So we took rest. But in the morning he was gone. So he woke up. That was a funny thing. So that we didn't make that heavy halwa. But we figured out, really, that recipe I still have. Not the heavy one. But the better recipe we actually figured out, yeah. I'd actually made a halwa the week before I came here. That was very good, very good. Actually, there's one friend of mine who at the university in Uppsala, is university town in Sweden, very old university. And he graduated, you know, with a PhD, whatever, a lot of, you know, letters. So he had 100 guests, and he wanted us to make, you know, the food. So we make all kinds of nice things, pakora, you know, nice sabjis. And I made a huge halwa for 100 people, you know. And it came out perfectly. And that's the best halwa I've ever made. And everybody loved it. So that's the recipe I still have. But if you make halwa, it's much easier to make a big amount than small. Small is really difficult to get together. If you make it big, it's much easier. Anyway, but no honey and no cream. Water is best. Water, semolina, water, butter, not too much. And cocoa, this small things, from cocoa, and raisins, maybe some nuts. I don't know how you make halwa. But anyway, so that was Dubrovnik, yeah. Then we, after that,
we went up to Sarajevo, yes? We didn't know much about the towns. We just saw map. Oh, Sarajevo. Then we drove there. But no response at all. Not like in Dubrovnik or Split we were sitting. But then we sat at the university, I think it was. But then we saw some mosques, you know, like that, and we're thinking. Nobody stopped. Everybody just walked by. So that was, we said, okay, we leave this place. So we went up to Belgrade and did the same thing, went to the park, and people came and we talked to them. And then we went to university in Belgrade, and spoke to some professor there, see if we could have a lecture. The thing is also, before we came, I was young, Dvarkesh was young, I never gave a lecture in a temple before we went, and he didn't either. So we were really neophyte, you know. But, you know, we were, anyway, daring, you know. So we made some arrangement to give a lecture to professors at the university and, you know, students there. So I gave the lecture, just speaking from Prabhupada's Gita, you know, not complicated. And I have a letter here that from this professor, very nice, you know, I don't know what he says. Who owns this dog? He barks all night too. So it's like in India. You've been to India? Dogs barking all night. I felt like I was in India yesterday. That's good. That's a good feeling. Hearing this dog barking. Anyway, here, I think it was. Here it is from. We confirm with pleasure that the program in which some aspects of Indian music and Vedic philosophy were presented informed our public essentially and shallingly on the foundations on the ethnic Indian culture. Strange English. It was the occasion that the achievement of different cultures meet together. We are glad for having met Prapayaka Das and Dvarakesh Das, the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Milovan Bonivichna, something, in charge for the lectures program of the Student Culture Center of the Belgrade University. So we wanted to write, and they did. You know, I have a lot here from different. Actually, I'm coming to Ljubljana soon. So this was the way we did it. We wanted to get into university and then do a program and then get the professor to write something so we could come back. You know, we can show, you know, if we want to come back. Yeah, we had here. This was the plan we had. So after Belgrade, we went to Novi Sad. Is that on the border, Novi Sad? And Subotica, yeah? Yeah, because there Dvarakesh met Hungarian people. They spoke Hungarian. We stayed for a few days in some young people's house there. And then we went down to Zagreb. In Zagreb, they made a great program in Zagreb. They put up posters all over town, big posters, you know, paper posters all over town, advertising Dvarakesh Das and Prapayaka Das, Indian music, you know, like that. So there was, I have it here. To whom it may concern,
Herewith we confirm that Prabhu Jagadas and Dwarakesh Das gave a lecture concert on the traditional Indian music of bhajan style at the architecture faculty in Zagreb on October 12, 1976. This the concert was very successful and helped a great deal in approaching this tradition to our student public. And signed by Niksha Gligu. So this was in Zagreb. They put up posters and thousands of people came. So we were outside, in the room, and the stage was there. So, and there was nowhere to go. So people were sitting on chairs and on the floor. So we had to go between people, like that, to come up to the stage. And we did the same. We chanted. And we had some books and sold the books, but we didn't have enough books. So quite a lot followed us. They were so into Krishna consciousness. They followed us to our van, and we had some more books there. They bought the books, and they even wanted to buy our own, our personal beads, Yeah. And our, we had to, no. They were so enthusiastic. So we kept our own beads and our personal Bhagavad Gitas. Actually, we read the Gita every day. We did little, you shouldn't do that, but we had the Gita on the dashboard in the car, So we're driving like this. Sarva Dharma, Sarparita Jan. Little dangerous, but we knew so many verses. Now I don't remember all of them, but we knew so many verses. But just driving around in Yugoslavia, it's a little dangerous, but we made it. So that in Zagreb was actually the best program we had, I think. Very nice. Prabhupada, Harikesh, he told Prabhupada especially about this program. And in if you read Harisori's books, Prabhupada, in one of the books, he says that Harikesh tells Prabhupada that we were on television also. I don't remember that. But maybe that we were. Maybe some channel took some photos of us, a film or whatever, and showed them on Yugoslavian television. But then after that, we went down to here, Ljubljana. And then we went to... we always went to... university or students like that. So here I have we met some nice students. It says studentsko nasilje, and we wanted some paper. We chanted on their radio. We chanted. They broadcasted it, and we spoke about Krishna consciousness. So he says, we are inviting, and we wanted to have invitations so we could come back. We are inviting Mr. Per Gerdestrand, that's my karma name, and Mr. Denis Vida, that's the Dwarkesh karma name, to Ljubljana, Yugoslavia, to perform a concert in our town. We are expecting them sometime in December 76 to February 77. They had already performed a recording for our students' radio station. We are also going to organize a live performance of this group playing original Indian folk music. And once, I cannot read what he says here. Anyway, so this is how we did it. Got into universities, our students, and student organizations, and try to get them first a program, and then try to get them to write something so we can come back. Something like that, invitations. So after that, we went down to Pula again, and Then we heard about this boy who had gone to Italy to join the temple somewhere in Italy, Rome or something. I don't know what happened to him anyway. But when then we left the country, went back to Germany at that time. It was a place called Schloss Retterschow, Frankfurt, the big temple there. That's where our base. And when we came, they told us, "You got a letter from Prabhupada. If you get the letter from Prabhupada, you know, that's really, that was very nice." So we sat in a room, Dwarkesh opened the letter, I was sitting on some cushions, you know, he started to read, you know. So this is very nice. The original letter I don't have. He had it, and I don't know where it is now, because he left his body. I have here, it looks like the original, it's very yellow. I thought myself, wow, I got the original, but it's not. Anyway, I can read this, it's very nice. Please accept my blessings. I have noted your letter of August 23, 1976, addressed to Hare Keshwami, and have noted the contents with pleasure. So either we called Hare Kesh, who was in charge of that, of everything, or I think Dwarikesh wrote a letter. Please continue your program of preaching in Eastern Europe, for this program is very pleasing to me. You should be supplied all funds for this program by the local GBC men there in Europe. Prabhupada said that, but that was not true. We never got so much money. This is how it works, Prabhupada said then. But anyway, this program is very important. People are suffering greatly presently due to having lost all proper vision. They are completely without knowledge as what is the real purpose of life. They have forgotten what is the real purpose of life. It is up to you, we felt really, you know, it's up to you to reestablish their lost relationship with Krishna by being sincere, to preach the message of Krishna purely by yourself, following the instructions of the Lord and his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. If you follow nicely our Krishna Consciousness program and preach to these unfortunate people, surely Krishna will recognize your very nice service, as he states in Bhagavad Gita. Nacha chasmin manushisu kastid me priyakritta maha. Whoever preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita is considered to me to be the most dear. So continue this way, I'm a full approval and support. Hope this meets you in good health. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Your well-wisher, Prabhupada was right. Your well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. So this was the story. I cannot, if you want, I can maybe speak. At that time, I can tell you, and many devotees were traveling all during Prabhupada's time. It was more like open. Many devotees traveled all over, came to Sweden. Many Americans came to Paris. Many American men came to Paris because there were many, very many female devotees in Paris. And that's why they came to get married to this. Some Americans came to Sweden and traveling all in, like in India, in Vrindavan. I went to U.S. and then traveled to Vrindavan. And at that time, Vrindavan was kind of heavy place. Krishna Balaram temple was just finished, but it was austere to live there. You got malaria, and there was one devotee in New York. he is no longer in the movement. Vipramukhya, he was Suksanyasa, Vipramukhya Swami. Anyway, at that time, Vipramukhya Das, he got malaria, so he couldn't move, you know. So we used to carry him. He had to do some service. So at the, you've been to the Krishna Balaram, there's an entrance, you come into the temple. He, at that time, was very simple. It was same entrance, but just a table there with some books, you know, and one devotee sitting there. So he sat there the whole day. So we carried him from his room, you know, put him there in malaria, you know. It's heavy. It's heavy. And also, it was heavy. The Indians who joined, when they were not sincere, you know. I heard stories about the... there was another thing. The ones who were building the temple, the Krishna Balaram temple, they had Indians building. But they had to have one man with a stick walking around all the time because they fell asleep, you know. All the... bum, bum, da, da, da. So then he came... started to work again. But then when he came back again, he was sleeping. He slept again. So this is... that's the way it was. These Indian workers, they were just falling asleep all the time, and one man had to go and with a stick wake them up. And but then, when I was there, 75, the Indian devotees who joined more, they were not sincere. There were many what Prabhupada was to say, rascals. I remember one devotee, he did some service, but then he was gone one day, and not only he, a lot of dollars and everything, people's money. He was, my money he couldn't take, I didn't have any money, just a few rupees. But, and very austere prasadam, you know, very austere, some, you know, simple subject, you know. And you got sick, you know, drinking. It was no bottled water, you know. Yeah. I remember I went out to Radha Kund. I've been to Radha Kund. There was no drinking. Not in Radha Kund. At least in Vrindavan you could drink bottled water, you know, this limca, you know, sodas. But in Radha Kund, nothing was there, you know. No cold drink at all. So, and Western people, at least for myself, you know, we used to have a really cold drink when it's hot outside, you know. But in Radha Kund, you bought big watermelons, but they were, you know, a lot of water inside, but maybe the water was 40 degrees, you know, something. So warm water, you know, you couldn't cool off your sweat or whatever. So, and many devotees got sick. So when I came from New York, from U.S., so they open arms, Prabhu, you know, and I got Brahmin initiation. So, you want to do pujari service? Because pujaris were, you know, getting sick all the time. So I was on the altar then doing pujari service. I was dressing Lalita and Vishakha. The right altar is Radha Shamsundar, Gopis, Lalita, and Vishakha. So I was just... but I was a little speculating a little. I went to some other temples, Gaudiya Math temples, and I saw the Gopis, or Radha, had red cheeks, you know. Supposed to put some kumkum or whatever. So I put kumkum on Lalita and Vishakha. But then the head pujari, you know, he got very angry. Don't speculate. Anyway, but they were very happy just to put the vote when the devotees came into India. So at that time, devotees were traveling all over. Now I remember during this zonal Acharya time, when all these zones were there, you couldn't travel, you know, anywhere. You had to stay in your zone, you have your guru, you know. I don't know how it is now, it is more You can go maybe, yeah. That time it was, you know, very close. But when Prabhupada's time, you could go anywhere. You know. It was not so strange, you know. Anyway, maybe it's getting late, I don't know. If you want to look, you can look at these. There's a picture, you know, from paper clippings and everything. Any questions? That's explained it. I wrote this. This book came from, I made, in Sweden we had in the 80s something called Radio Krishna, a radio station in the town Gothenburg and Stockholm. So I made a lot of tapes just speaking about, you know, all this I spoke here, going to US, Radha Damodar, going to India, going to Yugoslavia. So that, then 5-6 years ago, I was thinking, maybe I'll just write everything down in books. So first I wrote this book in Swedish, and then I made an English version with the help of an American devotee. And then I was thinking, maybe this is nice for some devotees to read, and others also, how you become a devotee. So this is the whole story, how I became a devotee. And it's kind of a strange story. It's like looking for my, I mean, I read all the books you can imagine, you know. And when I went to India, I was an art school student in art school once. I wrote a letter to my art teacher that I'm leaving, you know, giving up my art studies, and I'm going to go to India to find a guru. And God, I think I wrote also. God and the guru. Find God and the guru. So, so I went to India overland, 73. You know, hippie, they call the hippie trail from Istanbul all the way to Delhi. All the hippies were there, you know. Istanbul, you go on a train there. It was trained with 200 hippies, you know. Mostly going to India, taking drugs, you know. At that time I was totally clean, vegetarian, no drugs, no smoke, nothing. So I wanted just to go and find a guru. So not so many on this train, maybe most of them. I met a few boys, one American, one English. They were quite okay, but they were going up to, you know, Nepal, smoke ash, and then going down to Goa, and you know, not going to some ashram in the Himalayas or something. Actually, one thing I remember now, everybody heard of Steve Jobs, right? Apple founder. When he was getting some doctor hat, you know, whatever it's called, I don't know, at the university, I don't know what university it was, one of the biggest in America, I don't know the English, he got promoted as a doctor, you know. So his speech said, when I was young, I was living in a, you know, small house, my family, we don't have any money, we had no money even to eat. So I used to, every Sunday, I used to walk five miles back and forth to the Hare Krishna temple. Huh? Steve Jobs. And I loved it, he said. He was far out. And he also, before he became famous, he went to India and stayed in ashrams, you know. By Panchatattva Kittari. That was just a like that. What was I talking about? Steve Jobs. Yeah, how I became a devotee. Yeah. So I went to India the whole way. I got sick like anything in Kabul, I think. Kabul, yeah. I was lying 40 degrees fever at least. Some Swedish people took care of me, but the whole time they were smoking hashish. So it was like a fog, you know. And I was lying sick, you know. Maybe it helped me, I don't know. Yeah, I was talking to B. Krishna Maharaj. My wife has MS, and he suggested some cannabis preparation for MS, multiple sclerosis. So it helps MS. Maybe it helped me too. Anyway, but then I came to India, and I went up to the Rishikesh, very beautiful place. At that time I was doing this transcendental meditation, so I went up to this ashram they had in Rishikesh, where Beatles were there, 68, yeah. And many others also. One, I don't know if you're into music, Beach Boys, old band from America. I think this guy, Mike Love, he was there. One called Donovan, a kind of English, like Bob Dylan, same style, Donovan. The whole gang, Beatles and all these musicians, they actually chanted Hare Krishna. I have a tape. They went down with Maharishi to the Ganges, and there was John Lennon started to chant Hare Krishna. They were sitting, chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everybody. So, that was Rishikesh. And now it's completely, I've seen pictures, just overgrown, this ashram, not used anymore. It's a little sad. It was very nice. You're overlooking the Ganges, you know, on a hill there. Now it's, nobody's there. Anyway, and I went also to another place more east, up in the mountain. I wanted to go up to Badrikashram or Gangotri, you know, in the Himalayas. I bought a ticket, but then there were some floods. The roads there are very narrow, and if there is a flood, you know, just the road get, you know, just finished. So the bus couldn't go up. So I went to some other places. But I couldn't find any guru. I met many, you know, in Rishikesh especially, you know, Shaivites, you know, I will teach you yoga. We just have to get some nice hashish together first. Ganja. And you pay, he said to me. Well, no, I was really unhappy flying back to, and my money was also gone, so I had to call my father, and he sent some money through the Swedish embassy, so I could get back. Anyway, and then just 2 weeks, I was living in a special place in Stockholm, and I walked down in the center, and I heard the Hare Krishna mantra in India, and then I heard, wow, Hare Krishna, what is this? And then in the market, this place, right in the center of Stockholm, there were about 10 devotees chanting, you know. Three Swedes and some English devotees and like that. So, paper gathering around. So I spoke to one Swedish devotee, Vegavan there, and I bought a book from him, and then I was hooked. It was a small, very thin book, bad Swedish. It was translated to Swedish. But it was some lectures of Prabhupada, fantastic. So I started to chant like a madman in my apartment. Hour after hour, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I had an idea that if you do everything, so I did tea and meditation, I did some yoga asanas, and then Hare Krishna also. So I think if you do everything, you will go faster. But actually the Hare Krishna mantra and Prabhupada ended up, that's the only one left. So that's how it started. If you want, I don't know, can I make, promote my books?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want, yeah. This book, you can order it on internet, like Bhaktivedanta Library Services, they got these books, both of them, and also Krishna.com in Alachua in America, they have this book also, both books. But if you want, the price for the small one is €5, I sell it for €5, and this one, €10. If you buy both, €12. So you just tell me. Actually, I got, maybe some of you know a devotee, Bhaktagranta Das?
From Slovenia.
Yeah. He's not from Slovenia, huh?
No.
He read this book, and he wrote me a long mail, you know. It was like a book. He was completely taken, you know. Like very emotional, and, you know. And also one sannyasi, I give these books to Bir Krishna Maharaj. Anyway, and one son, I don't mention his name, but one sannyasi is gone. He liked this book also. Guru and sannyasi. Yeah. Anyway. Okay?
So you were in Pabri Gosai once? Will you come back?
Yeah, we came. Then we came. Next time, I don't know what happened really, then I got together with, at that time, Avinash Chandra, now Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. So we were arranged, him, Bhakti, at that time Avinash Chandra, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, me, and another daughter called Nikhilananda. We went to one more trip down. We came to Zagreb, I think it was, because we had this big program in Zagreb, Dvaj Krishna, so I was going to back to the same place to make another big program, I was thinking. So we put up, we went to the university and we put up some other kind of university, you know, some other institution, I don't think, we put up a book table and we put the books up and Bhakti Vaibhava and Nikhilananda was at the book table. And I took the car and went to speak to the person to arrange the program. I was gone maybe an hour, came back, an hour or two. They were gone. Books were gone, table, everything. Devotees also. So I was asking around and said, oh, no, the police came and took them. So, and they said, they went to this police station. So I went down there. And they were sitting in one room speaking to some police officer with a translator, a woman translator. And he was accusing us of this and that. And we were saying, isn't this a free country? You know, we're free. You know. And we told her also, he's crazy. Yes, she said. She agreed with us. But he couldn't understand what she said. No, I think, yeah, you're right, she said. You know. But he took our passports and out, you know, 2 years or something. So we had to throw our passports and get new ones. Yeah, like that. Next time I went with Avinash Bhaktivai Baba to Hungary. We went to Hungary and Romania. Maybe for a month or two. Romania was heavy there. They didn't even open the doors, you know. We had some, you know, names. Oh, hello. Actually, we were in Bucharest, and we were driving, and suddenly it was just, roads were, you know, blocked by car, and then we saw like 10, at least, big van, you know, cars, you know, big, long, black, you know, windows covered, come going, and they said, it was Ceausescu with some others come. And we saw this big place, you know, it's just amazing. We had some, actually, far off story. Romania is, you know, the birthplace of Dracula, everybody knows. So one night we were coming very late to looking for a place to stay because we went to some, you know, hotel or whatever. So there was some light. Yeah, we walked in, and then a woman came out, and it was very dark, just some little light, and she had a mustache, you know. So, and we got scared. She looked so, you know. We took the car and drove all the way to Bucharest during the night, and then we parked on the street and slept in the car. And I had a dream that night that Dracula was chasing me, you know. The whole night, you know, and I woke up, and I got out of the car, you know, chanted, and then I saw sign, and the sign said Greve Vladis Street, and Dracula's name was Vladis, so we were staying, you know, it was his street, completely crazy. And actually Dvaraka, she told an amazing story. He went there also alone. Amazing stories. It's too amazing to tell, you know. He said he saw flying cats and, you know, all kinds of strange things. Anyway. But we had... when I met, later when Dvarakesh and I met before he left his body, we always said our trip to Yugoslavia was the best time in in Krishna consciousness. You know? We were so, 3 months, yeah, maybe 2-3 months. Yeah. But we were so happy. You know. Of course, we had some difficulties getting along. But we were happy most of the time.
You slept in the car?
Yeah, a car. We built like, you know, you could sleep in the car, a kitchen also, so we could cook and sleep in the car. It was kind of quite a big Mercedes bus, you know. Pioneer days.
Yeah.
Bhakti Tirtha?
Yeah.
I think he... After I went with Bhakti Baba to Romania, I went back to Sweden. So I left this group. Then after that, many devotees came here. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and Krishna Kshetra Maharaj and many. Prito Maharaj, yeah, Prito also. Many came here. So I don't know what they did or anything.
He reports a similar about this big response from them.
Maybe he's talking about this, you know. What I'm... this letter here. Or if you read in Harisori's book,
There's one of Hari's, you know Hari's story, these books, by Prabhupada, diary. He has many different parts. Anyway, there Prabhupada says that, maybe he's quoting that, and 100 more times satisfied hearing results, you know, coming from Yugoslavia or Eastern Europe than any other place. But I know what you mean, because I saw a tape, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj speaking, but I was thinking, this is, he's speaking about what we did. I don't know. I think it was a combination of that we were from the West, you know. We were West, coming from the West, had a, you know, Mercedes van, you know, we were from the West. They were kind of impressing also. I had some difficulty saying why the response was so great, you know.
You were not in
Dhobi's Huh?
You were not wearing the Vaishnava.
No, when we had programs, we were in dhoti and everything, but my hair was, we had a hair little, you see on the pictures, maybe 1 centimeter like that. So we were not really shaved. But all the programs, we dressed in dhoti and tilak and everything. And also in the street, we were sitting, but traveling around, we had ordinary clothes.
And the food you were buying vegetables from?
Huh?
And for the food you bring with you the boga or?
No, we ran out of, we didn't have much money at one point. We had to steal, you know. We stopped at early in the morning, you know, stopped the car, ran out in, you know, these cornfields, you know, picking corn, digging up potatoes. We had no money. I don't know. Maybe we had full tank and no money to buy any boga, you know. But we came to one place, a farmer, he had a very big fig tree, very, you know, mature figs were really, you know, nice. So we gave him some books and he said, okay, you can sit in the fig tree and eat. So we kind of offered the whole tree. So we were sitting eating figs, you know. Yeah. I remember the milk was beautiful, Alpsko. It's still around? It's still called Alpsko? Beautiful milk. In this kind of pyramid, they had it in packages. And there was always cream in there, you know. In Sweden, at that time, milk was just, was nothing, you know. And this was, you poured out, and there still was cream left in the, you know, we pull out the cream. That was nice. Alpsko. I was always remember Alpsko. Yeah. Okay. So if you want, you can buy the books. Okay. Hare Krishna.